Right, 10 seconds left. Take the monitoring off, otherwise you get this wonderful feedback when I open the microphones. 5 seconds. Good evening, one and all. It's a Wednesday, halfway through another week, and of course we're in September. It flies by this time, doesn't it? I tell you, with these, well, it seems to get, as old, the older you get, the quicker time flies by, I can tell you. But I am here in a wet Connecticut today. Yeah, we needed it though. We could do with the rain. It's, we've had enough sun this year, and it's the right type of weather. Yesterday was, as I had said, like 70s here, nice and cool, and got some good sleep last night, which makes a change, you know, not the heat stuff, but I am here, and so is my guest. Now, one of the things we come across during the shows, and we're up to coming up to 2,000 now, I'll have to add up again, coming up to 2,000 shows we've done, is you get these people who had a voice talk to them in the night, saying they have to write a book. The book is there. It's up to them. That's their job, to write the book. Or you get, we have people on who would talk to people in the afterworld, talk to sons or daughters who've gone before. But, you know, but the thing is, do we take any notice of these things we're told? What if the spirits and teachers and angels are actually trying to direct us and help us? Well, as the saying goes, you know, when the student's ready, a teacher will appear. But if they do appear, will we know about it? Will we recognise? Will we accept? Well, my guest today, with his mother, have written a book about this called An Angel Told Me So. So I better introduce him, haven't I? Because on the show today, we've got the one and only Michael McAndrews. McAdams, I'm sorry, Michael. Michael McAdams. How are you?
Alright.
How are you, Michael?
Thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. First off, I mean, it's your mother's the sort of medium, for want of a better word, in this. Is this something you've sort of, growing up, was normal with your mother about being able to sort of, you know, have the spirits and angels and teachers and that speak to her?
Actually, Wilma Jean Jones, Wilma Jean, my mother, mm-hmm. did not really develop and become involved in receiving messages and teachings from spirit teachers until she was older. I was brought up in an evangelical Christian household. My mother was extremely religious. My grandmother was called to the ministry when she was 30.
Wow.
I had an uncle who was a fiery Pentecostal preacher by the name of John W. Sullivan. So Pentecostal, evangelical Christian, they tend to frown on messages and teachings and conversations with spirit guides or spirit teachers. But I had become involved in a number of spiritual things, reading books and that sort of thing, and had actually done psychic readings for a time myself with a group called Psychic World in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And I would share information and things that I would learn with my mother, and she was just okay with it, but she would always refer back to the Bible. And finally, one time we were in a conversation, and I said, could you have an open mind? And she said, yeah, I can have an open mind. And she ended up going with me to one of the psychic shows that I had a table at, and she became interested in it, became friends with the lady who was putting the show on, and just kind of developed from there. Wilma Jean had always had said that she'd always been spoken to, even when she was young. She said that she would be doing dishes in the kitchen, and with no music, nothing on her mind, she said she would be receiving conversations and messages, teachings, really profound teachings in her mind that she would just listen to while she was doing the dishes. And she said when it would stop, she would look around and say, well, that was really good, really good stuff. So anyway, that is how she became involved in this. And she would be led to sit down in dedicated sessions to receive. She had set up an electric typewriter on the table in her kitchen. She said she would put a blank sheet of paper in the typewriter, relax her mind, kind of drop down in level, say a prayer, because you are opening your mind.
Right.
And she would see three or four words just kind of float in and hang there, and they would not go away until she typed them. once she typed those three or four words, they would just fade away and three or four more words would show up. That's how she got the messages in what are three volumes of An Angel Told Me So.
So it's going to be a three volume set of books, right? And this is the first one, isn't it, that's just come out?
This is the first one. It's actually been out just under almost 2 years now.
Right.
And I look to have the second volume out by the end of the year. Volume three will be out next year.
It's interesting what you said, though. I mean, when you think of the Bible, you know, like you said, people sort of frown on it because it's right. When you think of the Bible's full of messages. You know, an angel appeared and told, you know, tidings of good news, and the messages came about doing this and the message. So it's not unusual. It's not saying that it's wrong. It's actually there in the Bible. And I guess with your mother, it was a case of, well, she was giving it, but it was more a case of opening her mind to realize what was going on.
I agree. And I have thought the exact same thing for years, that throughout the history of the Bible, we had spirit guides, spirit teachers, yeah, angels, is what they called them, that would come through and present messages and teachings to various people throughout the whole history of the Bible.
Exactly.
And why is it that everyone believes that it just stopped?
Yeah.
And that we're not allowed to receive anymore?
No, that's quite right. I mean, whether it's frowned on or what, no matter what name it goes under, it's been noted and stated and written about for thousands of years.
That's true. And I believe the word that seemed to put religious people off the most was spirit.
Yes.
And when you think of spirit guides, spirit teachers, they're really just angels viewed from a different perspective. If you have a religious, church-based, Bible-based background, you know, I was taught about angels, archangels, guardian angels all my life.
Yeah.
People who are more spiritual in nature, they read and learn about spirit guides, spirit teachers. They're the exact same beings, just viewed from a different perspective.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, you know, the spirit, the Holy Ghost, it's all the same part in a way. These spirit teachers, when your mother was sort of, as you said, you know, she was sort of doing the dishes or what have you, and you know, the voice came to her and discussed stuff, and you know, she felt like she was learning. And did she? When did she sort of real? You know, as you said, she came with you and sort of started to understand things a bit more. But it was almost like an education to her, I guess.
Oh, it's an amazing body of material. These spirit teachers in these messages and teachings, and I really should call them teaching messages because mm-hmm. of the information that's given, they repeatedly refer to themselves in these messages in first person. We feel, we believe, we advise, our view encompasses more than your view can comprehend. That's the way they speak about themselves. But she had received in thought on a number of occasions before she started sitting down in the dedicated sessions and was taking these messages and teachings down with an electric typewriter. On the back cover of the book is a message that she felt that was confirmation that she should put these messages in a book.
Right.
And she was working in the kitchen one day, and these words started to come into her mind and thought. And she picked up a piece of paper and a pen and wrote this out in longhand. May I share this message
yes,
with your audience?
Please do.
It is fairly short, but I think really profound.
Right.
And it said, emptiness is part of fulfillment. Let your resources fill the void left so that distinction of your purpose can be found. Expression is always self-explanatory. Therefore, look inside and anchor all your beliefs beside those still waters that will take away your troubled view and renew your strength to recapture that which was lost but is now found to be adequate to pursue the course set before you. And as you reconcile your being to represent those qualities that have been left intact, God will see to it that although circumstances have been trying, to say the least, your weariness will disappear as clouds once removed allow the sun to shine to dispel the gloom and darkness that has pervaded your countenance, and as once described before, a token of this presence will be deposited to your account and books recorded in his name.
So, as you said, being told to write the book, which, as I said at the beginning, we've had several other people who have received, and one thing that they've said, and I'm sure, reading about your book as well, is it's a personal message to you. It's to the person being spoken to. It's somebody speaking to you direct, telling you that this is the purpose. This will ease the pain, or this will help with the situation you're in. Is that what, Wilma Jean found when she started, taking these messages?
It is. And volume one is pretty much all personal messages to Wilma Jean and myself. She would sit down, like I said, with the electric typewriter, mm-hmm. and she would get a message for her and a message for me in the same session. And it would take 3 to 4 hours to get these two messages. But it's like the messages themselves are woven with a universal thread.
Yeah, it's.
And everyone who has read these messages have said, well, this sounds like what I'm dealing with. Mm. This sounds like they're talking to me. And I tell people, I say, when you get the book, read each message once as it was given for Wilma Jean and for myself. Then read that same message again as if it's being presented for you and see what hits. And it's amazing what hits.
Yeah,
it's almost a little spooky.
It is, because, as I said at the beginning, the teacher will teach when you're ready to listen. And too many people don't listen. They think it's something wrong, or something wrong with themselves, and they close their ears to these things that are trying to help you, trying to get you out of a situation. Something my wife said last night. She said, because I was saying, unfortunately we got laid off, two or three of us at work a couple of weeks ago. The top people in grades got laid off because they could get cheaper and younger, sort of thing. She said the person didn't call, and she said, well, that's a sign that, it might be time for you to sort of, think about retiring. There could be a will behind the fact that, to stop me pushing through to try and get something else when I should be thinking more of, what years I've got left, sort of thing. So these are there. These voices are there. These messages are there. You just got to open up yourself, and then they're there to help you. Individual guides, whatever we all have, to help us through these times.
That's true, and you never know who's going to walk through your door.
No, you don't. You don't. We get all sorts of people.
And so many people are so wrapped up in the physical. They get in their car, the first thing they do is turn on the music.
Yep.
They come home, they jump on the computer, their phone, turn on the TV, turn on the stereo. And a lot of people are just not comfortable listening to their own thoughts or being able to calm their mind and put themselves in a receptive state.
Right.
And it's amazing how this information will come, just like Wilma Jean working around the kitchen with no real thought of trying to get a message. But when they wanted to present the message, they just began to present words to their mind, to her mind.
It's like number of people you hear, authors especially on this show, I hear a lot, that they hear from... My theory is that it's almost like there's a parallel universe, or when people are writing a novel, the characters are talking to you. Writers, 95%, 98% of writers will tell you that the characters lead them. That no matter how detailed you plan a book, minor characters come along wanting major roles. No matter what you say, the characters are going to lead you down a different path. And if you don't listen to the characters, that's when they say it's writer's block, because the character's got the hump and they won't talk to you. And a number of people who say, well, they get their stories, in the night. They have a pencil and paper at the side of the bed next to them, and the characters come along and they listen to the characters and they have to write it down. And that's the whole, in a way, it's a bit like what you're talking about. The voices are there. You just got to listen to them, whether it's day, night, or whenever, where your mind is calm and you're receptive.
That's true. Now, that for people creating a story with characters, I can see where that is the case. For me, An Angel Told Me So, these three volumes, the messages and teachings are the heart of the book.
Mm.
And I'm just the messenger. I weave a narrative
right.
as to what was going on in, with Wilma's life and my own. But one of the interesting things is as these messages and teachings continued, they first started in dedicated sessions in August of 1977, and they continued for 22 years through the year 2000. And as these messages and teachings continued, it's like the spirit teachers on the other side started spreading the word.
Ah.
And higher teachers started moving in, giving even more profound, deep teachings. A lot of the messages and teachings were signed with the name of the spirit teacher that presented the message.
Interesting. So it's, you know, they say, hey, there's somebody listening to us. We need to let our head professors know, sort of thing, and they might want to speak to them as well, and so they came along, and as you say, more and more profound teachings from the sound of it.
These spirit guides and spirit teachers had found a willing receptacle
yep.
in Wilma Jean, and not only is these messages and teachings proof of the existence of a spiritual realm outside this physical plane, but here are communications in the form of these messages and teachings that have been dictated directly from spirit teachers who inhabit the realm. Now, to me, that's just an amazing, you know, amazing situation. And to be part of that, I feel really honored to have been involved in that. And I have received messages given to me just when I wasn't even thinking about anything. And it's amazing when it happens, and we're all capable of receiving. I believe that we all have an innate ability, an ability that we're born with, to communicate and be able to receive advice, direction, support, guidance from our own spirit guides and spirit teachers. And I'm hoping that An Angel Told Me So will allow people to realize their own potential for being able to receive.
Did you have, to start with, a specific guide, teacher, or was it like a group of them?
I have heard of mediums and psychics telling people that they have a spirit guide named so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
I have never experienced that. It's more of it's almost like a group with a spokesperson.
Right.
And many of these messages and teachings are given in plural. Like I said, we feel,
yeah.
we believe, we advise, yet the message itself will be signed with the name of a singular spirit teacher.
Yeah, so it's like a, as you say, like a group with one spokesman who is your specific spokesperson. So it's the group of people coming up with that, because you don't know, there might be other guides in that group who are doing the same thing to other people.
It's possible, but these particular messages and teachings appear to be given with either Wilma Jean or myself in mind, and then as these messages and teachings continued, they were given as general teachings, not addressed to Wilma Jean or myself. They would many times reference us in the message, but it was an amazing body of material where prophecy was given. Information was given. Wilma Jean went through a divorce. I went through a divorce. And we were given information about what was going on and what was going to happen as time went by.
Have you found that it's changed at all from what you might, how can I say? Has it kept up to date with what's going on in the actual world today? The prophecies, or is it a generalized to the person, that relates to the person?
In this case, it was relating to Wilma Jean and I.
Right.
But these messages were given from 1977 through the year 2000. Now, I have received information since then myself, but nothing prophetic or anything that would apply to, say, the coronavirus or world situations or anything political or anything like that. It's like that's too mundane for them.
Right.
They are on a much higher plane. As a matter of fact, I was when I was looking for a publisher for the book, an angel told me so. I had been on a website, a number of websites, and I found a publisher that would accept unsolicited material. And they asked a number of questions about your work. One of the questions they asked was, what makes your material unique? Why would anyone want to read this? And I thought that was a really good question. I had never thought about it before. And I said, as I sat at my computer where I'm sitting right now, an answer began to be made known to my mind, and I didn't ask, I just relaxed my mind, and these words started to come into my mind, and I typed them down. May I share this with your audience?
Please do.
All right. The uniqueness of any material is in the manner in which it touches the soul. An open and searching mind pulls the soul and the body in which it inhabits onward and upward with hunger and determination in its quest for spiritual nourishment, ever mindful that the path upon which we walk is the path toward God. Lives lived, experiences endured, goals accomplished, and loved ones lost are all encounters upon that path. Strive always for the highest possible communication with our Heavenly Father. Believe in yourself as the Father within you is guiding, leading, directing, and comforting you upon this journey that we call life. Blessings be upon you as you walk your chosen pathway. And when it got to the end, it just stopped. And I just said, I think I said thank you out loud, or thank you, Spirit. And thank you, Spirit, was one of Wilma Jean's favorite expressions. When she would be given information, told something that happened, advised, she would always acknowledge where that information had come from. And anyone who's wanting to be able to receive themselves, you need to be able to show the gratitude and appreciation for the source of this information. And these spirit guides and spirit teachers, their joy is in our recognition of their existence. They can't do anything without us. They can't do anything except through us. And that's what they're there for.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, you... I don't know what to say. That makes it worthwhile to them, the fact that you've acknowledged, I could understand that you've listened, you've acknowledged, you thank them. That means that they have done what they what their aim is, what their main issue, main want is to share and to educate people from this world, to teach, as we've been saying all along, that with you know, the statements or what have you from the spirit world, be it a guide or whatever. It's the fact that somebody was open enough to listen, to understand, and to appreciate, and to say thank you because of that.
That's true. And I don't look at it so much as coming from the spirit world as coming from a spiritual realm outside this physical plane.
Right, yeah.
And okay. We're not required to obey. We're not required to listen or to pay attention. We have we've been given a number of gifts, and one of those gifts is a pesky little thing called free will. And we can accept or reject any information that we're given. Usually we do so at our own peril. If someone is wanting a companion, a job, a car, and they're being told, I'd pass on this one if I were you.
Right.
I want it. I really want it. No, I don't think you ought to buy this car. I don't think you ought to go out with that individual. And they do it anyhow.
Right.
And then they suffer the consequences. They say, well, doggone it, I knew that I was told I shouldn't have done that, and I went ahead and did it anyhow.
Like,
so, again, if you're just willing to listen and be receptive, you know, you can choose, you know, what you want to accept or reject. But you better pay attention because they know what they're talking about.
Indeed so. And obviously you do because it's been a fascinating time talking to you. But time is going by ahead of us. So what I'm going to do now, Michael, is to hand the show over to you so that you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your book.
All right. My website is spiritspeaks.com. And it'll be the one that says, Spirit Speaks to the Hungry Soul. And on that website is the link to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, Nook, where the book is available. Mm-hmm. There is a television interview posted at the top of the website that Wilma Jean gave in Cincinnati and posted on her television interview as a sneak peek from Volume 2.
Oh, right.
And this was the only time in 22 years where in a session where Wilma was led to sit down and receive, two different spirit teachers moved in, gave two different messages, and signed two different names.
Wow. That's a lot, because normally just one, two different ones. Terrific. Well,
and the one spirit teacher even referenced another teacher. He had given a message, a short message, really profound. But he said, there are others here who wish to make themselves known to you, so I will step aside for this time.
Wow.
Well, my question is, who are the others and where is here?
Yeah.
Where are you in relation to us in this physical plane?
Exactly.
That's how personal this information is.
That's amazing. So that's all on the links to that are all on your website.
Correct.
Okay. Well, Michael, it has been fascinating chatting to you and educational as well. And I'm sure a lot of people listening, and we get like 20,000, 25,000 people around the world per show. So we get a fair audience. And I'm sure a lot of those listening have sort of picked up on this. And look out for An Angel Told Me So, book one, book two coming out. Yeah, sometime. And it's going to be a set of three books. So everybody look out for that. So, Michael, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate your having me on.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. How about that? An Angel Told Me So. So, Michael McAdams. Get his name right. This stuff. Really interesting stuff. Really interesting. I tell you, it's Wilma Jean Jones, his mother. And it makes you think, doesn't it? I'm sure you're all sitting there saying, well, you know, I remember such and such and such. I called it conscience. Well, you call it whatever you want. It's still somebody trying to tell you. Anyway, that's it. I'll be back next Tuesday with another book and a chat. And don't forget, on Sunday, we are here with 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern on New Visions Radio with Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And we do have another theme this week. I know we said we've sort of got through most of the themes. It's 170th show, I tell you, by the way, this weekend. But we're doing school, teachers, this weekend. So that's our theme this Sunday. And then after that, from 6 to 7, music from the swinging 60s. Yes, that great stuff. And it's round the world. It's not just the British invasion anymore. It's an hour of music from the swinging 60s. Touching the 70s, we might squeeze it over, you know, poetic license. Anyway, that's the weekend. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget. Make sure it's working. If I can.
And sorcery is magic and all modern in the air.
Thank you so much, Michael. That was great chatting.
Are we off the air now?
We are off the air, yes.
All right. I would, the other thing I was going to work in, and I kind of forgot that I have a contact page on my website, and I was going to ask any of your listeners if they were interested in contacting me, I could send them information. But if you would care to share an email address,
yep,
I would send you that message that we were talking about,
right,
where the two spirit teachers moved in.
Right.
I'll send you that and the follow-up message where Wilma Jean had, she'd always wanted to go to the Holy Land.
Right.
And she had connected with a church group in Cincinnati. And in 1979, she was able to make the first of three trips that she made, three consecutive trips to the Holy Land. And she was getting these messages really often. She was dedicated. I mean, she had no idea how long this was going to last, and she didn't want to miss a single opportunity to receive. And the second message that was received I'd say approximately 6-7 months after the one where the two spirit teachers moved in, the spirit teacher that presented that message makes a comment and said the time lost here he made some kind of a reference to the time being lost, mm-hmm. but they were going to try and make up for it. So if you would care to share an email address, I will send you that.
K-N-I G-H-T
All night.
Yeah, night, number two, letter K, number four.
Is that night singular?
Yeah, night.
Okay. Night, K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah, number two.
Okay.
Letter K.
Okay.
Number four. Night 2K4 at hotmail.com.
Okay. Hotmail.com. When we get off the phone here, I'll send that to you this evening.
Thank you very
much. Hotmail.com, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And if you have pencil and paper handy,
yep.
I would give you the way that you can see that Lilydale documentary on YouTube.
Yep.
Go to YouTube,
yep.
and in the search box type in No One Dies in Lilydale. Lilydale is two words, Lilydale. They have shut all the book signings down this year because of this coronavirus crap. But hopefully next year will be good. Okay. They have my book there at the bookstore.
Right.
And their sister community is Casadega, down in Florida.
Yeah.
And they'll reference Casadega when it was settled in the early 1900s. But when you go to when the choices come up on YouTube for No One Dies in Lilydale,
mm-hmm.
I think the first one is $1.99. Just skip that.
Right.
And you'll see a link posted by KL Audio.
Okay.
And there's a picture of a Chinese girl with black glasses on.
Yeah.
Click that one. It's free.
Okay. I will pass that on straight after the show. It was really great chatting to you, Michael. Yes, I enjoy sort of shows where I learn stuff, which is a lot of them.
I would be happy to do this again sometime if you think, whenever you believe it would be appropriate. One other quick thing, to kind of give you a little flavor. Do you have the book, or have you been able to read any of the information?
No, I haven't got the book. I pass it on to my wife. She reads all the books in there.
All right. Well, in these messages and teachings, these spirit teachers will end the message with either just a really profound last tagline,
mm-hmm.
or a deep, heavy last paragraph. And this message, where the two spirit teachers moved in the same session, the second teacher's message, the last paragraph of his message, and I'm going to read it to you, it's short.
Right.
Says, "You are not as sheep herded here and there, but you are likened unto the lamb that is cared for individually, nourished and loved until the full and total development allows it to be master of itself. So is man so kept and denied only those things that would not in the long run nourish his spirit. God is all-wise and loving in his dispensations. We are not to judge the workings of our Father, nor are we to judge each other. Work always to improve your own beings, for in the end time there lies your soul, with all the nourishment that you have given it, totally dependent upon the outcome of your intentions."
Okay.
And that message was signed, "Your loving spiritual teacher."
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that and everything else you did today. I really appreciate you for being on the show.
Oh, one other quick thing I was going to give you. I listened to an oldie station in London, live out of London. They're 4 hours. I think they're 4 hours ahead of us now. It'd be five if it wasn't for daylight saving time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's called UK Gold.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Do you know the station?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And it's a mix of British and American music. You can tell the difference. American music is always better. But it's good and it's interesting. Well, you can just tell. You can just tell. And they play a mix of British and American oldies.
Right.
They'll go back to it's escaping me. I had it on the tip of my tongue. Some of the artists that they showcase.
Right.
And what I like about it is when they break for commercials, everyone has a British accent.
Yep.
And they talk about traffic on the M1 and the M5.
Right.
And they'll give you internet and various things that are, you know, so many pounds, sixpence, and
yep.
And it's just interesting to hear that and know that it's live over there.
Exactly. Yep.
So if you know the station, then I won't share that with you then if you're already aware
of
it.
Oh, no, I know the station well, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I got
right.
Okay, thank you so much. I've got to get going with the next lot of stuff I've got to do. So thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you, Barry. Maybe we can get together again sometime.
Yeah, yep, sure thing. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.